Srimad Bhagavatam, as it, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 47. Yavalingan Vito Yatma Yavat Karma Nibandhanam Tito Vipariya Klesho Maya Yoga Nivartate. Yeah, but as long as, is that difficult? Linga anvitaha, covered by the subtle body, he indeed, atma, the soul, tavat, that long, karma, a fruit of activities, Nibandhanam, bondage. Tata, from that. Viparya, reversal. Wrongly thinking the body to be the self. Klesha, misery. Maya yoga, a strong relationship with the external. Illusory energy. Anuvartate follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with material energy and must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continuously, life after life. For boy, the living entity is bound by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. At the time of death, therefore, the position of the mind becomes the cause for the next body. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.6, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan tyajantyantikalevram. At the time of death, the mind sets the criteria for the spirit souls being carried to another type of body. If a living entity resists the dictation of the mind and engages the mind in the loving service of the Lord, the mind cannot degrade him. The duty of all living beings, therefore, is to keep the mind always engaged at the lotus feet of the Lord. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo. When the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Krishna, the intelligence is purified. When the intelligence gets inspiration from the super soul, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Thus, the living entity makes progress towards liberation from material bondage. The individual living soul is subject to the laws of fruitive activity. But the super soul, Paramatma, is not affected by fruitive activities of the living, of the individual soul. As confirmed in the Vedic Upanishad, the Paramatma and the Jivatma were likened to two birds sitting in the body. The Jivatma is enjoying or suffering by eating the fruits of the bodily activities, but the Paramatma, who is free from such bondage, witnesses and sanctions the activities of the individual soul as the individual soul desires. Yavalingan vito yatma tavat karma nibandhanam tito vipariyo klesho maya yoga nivartate. As long as the spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, is bound to the results of his fruitive activities. Because of this covering, the spirit soul is connected with the material energy and must accordingly suffer material conditions and reversals continuously, life after life. Hiranyakashipu is still speaking to his relatives, and he'll go on for at least another 10 verses. That's if his relatives stay around for the class. No, it's actually more than 10, another 13 verses. Because, practically speaking, it is not so easy to understand who we actually are and what is the mechanism to find out who we are. So Hiranyakashipu has to give a lot of instructions just so his relatives stop crying, which is obviously they're not going to take up the path of devotional service. But these instructions are important, even for us. Beginning with, Yata prakashyadekam kritsnam lokimam ravi, tata shetri tata, shetri shetri tata kritsnam prakashiti bharata. Yata prakashyadekam kritsnam lokimam ravi, shetri shetrageya samyogat. No, I just got that mixed up. No, we start again. Yata prakashya ekam kritsnam lokimam ravi, shetra shetri tata kritsnam prakashiti bharata. Just like the sun is lighting everything in the universe with sunlight, so the soul, one within the body, lights up the body with consciousness. So everyone has the experience that we're lighting up this body with our consciousness. Now, the question is, why are we conscious of this body? Why are we not Krishna conscious? And this is explained here because we're more attracted to material consciousness than we are to Krishna consciousness. That's the choice. Now, it may seem rather we're innocent, that my mind is going in all different directions, but we're picking and choosing where we want our mind to go. And at least, in the material world, we're getting offered so many different varieties of possibilities to focus the mind, especially in Kali Yuga, where you have the internet. You just can do a search on a search engine and find out wherever your mind wants to go, and they'll provide you with all different places in that particular field where your mind can go to. Now, you can even do a search and find out Krishna consciousness. And they'll give you varieties of places to put the mind. But according to our conception, according to our determination, just like I may have a certain conception, it would be nice to study Prabhupada's books today. But so many things come along to our minds, and we lose our determination to do it. So determination is a factor. Our intelligence is a factor to understand why we should do it. Our intelligence may be very strong. That is, it has depth of understanding, of perception of why we should do it, of experience, we can say. That experience and depth of conception, of understanding, leads to faith. That even the mind says, don't do it, but if I'm convinced I should do it, then the mind is will not be very convincing. But if there's not very much conviction based upon experience and practice, there's not much determination, then even a little suggestion from the illusory energy can divert me. I can be meditating, I should do this, I should do that. But even a little bit of pushing by the senses or a little bit of agitation by the mind, then I become bewildered, and whatever I was thinking about doing, I forget about, and I just go and do that, the thing that the senses and mind are pushing me to do. So this is called being impulsive in Kali Yuga. Practically everyone is being impulsive. Now, everything depends also upon taste. Because at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining about so many different modes of nature. Knowledge in the mode of the modes, intelligence in the modes, determination in the modes, duties in the modes, food in the modes, he explains in the 17th chapter, so many different things in the modes. But his last explanation is yat taragre vishami va parinami ritopamam tatsukam satyakam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Everything is going to depend upon our taste, what we want to enjoy. Now, if we have enough knowledge, then that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So anyone who thinks that devotional service is going to be just like a smooth sailing, I join the movement, you know, I'm in here, everything's going to go exactly the way it's supposed to go. Today I'm at Shraddha, tomorrow Sadasanga, maybe in a couple of weeks I'll get to Anartha Nivritti, and Bhava Prema, that's nothing. That's just, that will naturally follow Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava Prema, within a couple of months at least. And there won't be any obstacles. Everyone will love me, everyone will serve me, everyone will appreciate everything I'm doing, because I'm a devotee. And because Krishna loves me, everyone will love me. I won't have any other desires. I've joined the Hare Krishna movement. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I even took initiation from my initiating guru, accepted all my sinful reactions. Now I'm pure. I'm an actual pure devotee after taking initiation. Everything I touch becomes spiritualized. Everywhere I glance becomes spiritualized. So one may think like that and rapidly get disappointed. What happened? I was cooking for the Lord and I burnt my finger. How is this possible? Why didn't the Lord promise His protection for anyone engaged in His service? And yet my finger was burnt. Maybe He doesn't love me. Maybe He doesn't like the way I look. Maybe He takes enjoyment watching my finger getting burnt because He's all-pervading super soul. We may speculate in so many different ways outside of what actually is taking place, what the reality of the situation is. So one has to be prepared to tolerate. One should not think that everything is going to be simple. Otherwise, what is probably right in the Bhagavad Gita, that one has to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees, when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, He automatically blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. I wonder if they use the word twice, genuine. That would be a little strange. One has to pass the test of the spiritual master. I guess he must. He's a bona fide. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master when he sees the genuine disciples. I guess that genuine spiritual. He uses the word genuine. Genuine, twice. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So there has to be some kind of test. Not the only test, you know, if you go advanced in any field, any genuine field, any important field, there is some test. So to think that one is going to advance in spiritual life without any test, then Maya is going to, you know, she's going to say, "Well, you don't have to pass any tests. You put on neck beads. Everything is all right." Previously, you were attracted to material opulence, to material accumulation, material desires, sense gratification. But now you put on neck beads and you put on a sari or you put on a dhoti and now there's no more test. Now you just go to the temple every day and automatically I count the number of days you're in the temple and we advance you gradually. It takes around 600 days to get to nishta. 900, you get to Ruchi. 1,200, you get to Sakti. And then, of course, you know, it's a little bit extra. We add in an extra 100 days for Bhava and Prema. No, yoga, chalati, manasa, Maya, her job is to test and see if we're actually interested in advancing a spiritual life. So she's always trying to allure us in many different ways. Prabhupada writes, usually women and wealth are the principal allurements, because women means anyone who's going to serve you and be subordinate to you. So for women, men are women, and for men, women are women, or anything's possible in Kali Yuga. That's the normal, but nothing's normal in Kali Yuga. So women and wealth are generally, Maya's been using them since time immemorial, and they've worked pretty well so far. She's captured unlimited living entities since time immemorial, so she doesn't have to come up with too many other tricks. These seem to be the main ones. Artha and Kama. And indeed, in Kali Yuga, that's all people are interested in, is economic development for sense gratification. Dharma. People are not worried about the loss of Dharma. Do you find people out in the street protesting the loss of Dharma in Kali Yuga? Or their chance for moksha? Their path of liberation is not clear. If they're out in the street, even now, it's because they worry about their economic development. And why they worry about their economic development? Because their standard of sense gratification may go down. So that's Kali Yuga. The important things, namely Dharma, how to live in harmony with material nature, to achieve liberation through moksha, that people aren't concerned about. Because they've been allured, they're only absorbed in those two things, economic development for sense gratification. So there's no question of falling into Maya. The question is how deep of Maya they want to get into. And it goes down to, as according to Brahma Samhita, yes to Indra Gopa Mahendra Sukhosa Karma Bandhana Rupa Bhajan Anatnoti Karmadi Kintu Chindija Bhakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. You can go down to the Indra Gopa germ. Brahma somehow or another didn't know about the coronavirus, so he started with the Indra Gopa germ. You can go that far down. If you think, well, I don't mind, I might become a dog in my next lifetime, but hopefully I'm a dog in a nice house when they happen to give me a nice bowl and maybe a little prasadam sometimes. No, you can become an Indra Gopa germ. Or you can become an Indra. And it's not accidental, according to how much we're cultivating Dharma and how much we're cultivating Artha for Kama. If we're not cultivating Dharma, then sure, we're going to become degraded. There's no possibility of moksha if there's no Dharma. And there's every possibility of increasing more and more Artha for Kama. So one has to, if one is not hearing about the path to liberation, then one has no choice. If one has nothing, no idea what the path for liberation is, then there's no choice but to follow the path of sense gratification. In order to have sense gratification to the standard one may imagine it, then one has to engage in some kind of economic development, either honestly or dishonestly. But according to Bhagavad Gita, generally speaking, people, there's nothing honest about their economic development nowadays. They may believe that what they're doing is honest. They're honestly running a slaughterhouse. They pay all their workers, except that they're up to the standard of the cleanliness and how much they clean the blood up. They may think that they're doing an honest business. But the Yamadutas, those who are in charge of the universe, may not agree with them, that they're honest. They're honest thieves. They're trying to become honest thieves. But honest thieves also get punished. So we have to decide whether or not we're going to try to cultivate, fill our consciousness with Krishna consciousness, so that we have varieties of choices, maybe, but the choices are only how to serve Krishna. Or we can hear or remember, we can hear and chant and remember so many other things, and therefore have so many choices and so many modes of material nature, and forget about Krishna in so many different ways. So this is up to us. Where we want to put the mind, and that takes some intelligence to know where we put the mind. And when the mind's not cooperating, when we're not enlivened or whatever, then we have to become tolerant. And try to withdraw the mind and bring it back under the control of the self. Shunai shunaru paramat budhya drita grihitaya atma samstamana kridva na kinchit api chintaya. Wherever the mind gradually, step by step, with full conviction, so that it's a step by step, gradual process, and it takes conviction. So how is that conviction? We have to analyze things from every point of view. See what's happening for those who are not following, and see what's happening for those who are following. See from my own experience, what was my life like before I became a devotee? Was it really as blissful as it was promised? Did I achieve unlasting happiness and enlightenment from the path I took previously? And now is my life better? Has it improved by following the path? So many thoughtful examinations have to be there so we can convince that we're following the right path. Because Maya will always say, well, you could try this, you could try that. You know, you may have gotten it wrong previously, but you're more experienced now. You've gotten so much enlightenment from Krishna. Now you wouldn't have that problem anymore. You'd be able to avoid it. And that way you would actually enjoy. So Maya's not going to give up so easily. She's not going to say, oh, it was miserable before, and if you go back, it's going to be miserable again. Punak punas charvita charvananu. She said, no, it's always new and fresh. Look at all the new technology that came out. You don't even have to do anything. You just put on a virtual reality, and you could be anything you want. You could be Spider-Man or Batman or anything you want. Try it out. Maybe you'll like it. You can have whatever dream you want when you're awake. And at night you can go to sleep and you put one of these things on, you can have a dream in the dream. So one has to become convinced by a proper analyzation, by a proper vision, perspective, and that can only develop. The more one becomes pure, the more one comes and performs devotional service, the more one comes in contact with Krishna, the closer one adheres to Krishna, then the more likely it is that as Krishna reveals himself, then our heart becomes purified and we can see things more clearly. Then our taste changes. That which before seemed very alluring, that our mind became attached to and wouldn't let go of until we finally got it. It's like little children. Sunday morning, at least in America, they have these little children at home, back from school, and they're glued before the television set because the parents don't want to deal with them. Or the parents are still asleep and the little kids wake up to watch television. And all the television is, you know, buy this, buy that, buy this other thing. And if you don't, your parents won't give it to you, scream, fall on the floor, hold your breath. Don't give up until they finally buy it for you. So their minds are absorbed, they're attached, they've been trained like that. You become attached to getting these things and don't give up until you get it. So they're fully determined to get their material desires fulfilled. It's like an animal who sees his prey. A tiger sees a deer, he doesn't think, oh my God, my friend said I should become a vegetarian. This poor deer is out here. You know, maybe it has a child, and, you know, if I kill the deer, then what will happen to the child? You know, maybe I should rethink my habits, you know. Maybe I should be a vegetarian one day a week at least. No, the tiger doesn't think anything like that. He just thinks, here's a deer, how am I going to kill the thing and eat it? That's the only thing he thinks. He's fixed. Now, you can preach to the tiger all day long, and the only thing the tiger will do is try and see if he can eat you. Our preaching will have no effect whatsoever. Now, to a human being, if they hear that, you know, so many people die every year from overeating meat, it causes heart disease and cancer and whatever. So then the person, when he sees the meat, he wants to eat it and he hesitates. And his friends are looking at him, why are you hesitating? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with your mind? Why have you become so conflicted? Maybe you should go to a psychiatrist. Before you had no mental problems, but now you seem to have problems. Yes, you have problems because finally you got some intelligence. And you're trying to restrain your senses, your mind from some unwanted activity. Before there was no problem because you had no conscience. You had no intelligence. Therefore, you never hesitated to do anything. But now you've gotten some intelligence, and now you're hesitating. And now they want to put you in a psychiatric ward because you seem to be conflicted. But actually, they're the people who are crazy. Or, not crazy, they're animals. They're simply on the platform, there's a stimuli, and then they program to react. They have no intelligence. But if we put our mind on Krishna and the mind becomes purified, then our intelligence develops. Then we can actually see that this is actually what's going to make me happy. Putting my mind upon Krishna, serving Krishna, doing what Krishna wants will make me happy. Then our intelligence becomes purified. We'll be able to see things properly. Otherwise, there's no possibility of seeing anything properly. Because in the mode of goodness, people think they see things better. They definitely see things better, but they don't see things properly. They don't really know who they actually are. All they know is who they're not. They know what not to do, but they don't really know what to do that will actually help them real self rather than a temporary self. As one goes up to the modes of nature, one understands what will help the temporary self, but one will not necessarily get a very clear understanding without the association of devotees, what will help the real self. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
There is a frequent question that we are asked. We are reformed in every next life for the activities, or rewarded or punished, or getting the reactions from the previous lives, wouldn't it be more effective if we had memory of those activities? So why don't we get some reminder of what we are being punished for? Why we forget the why the memory is taken away about the actual act that we get the punishment for?
Well, learning is supposed to be learning principles. But if we never find out what the principles are, then we don't learn anything. So if we had memory, then it would simply be a disturbance, because we don't really want memory. It'll interfere with our desires for sense gratification. Now, if we accept the eternal principles of reality, then those things will be revived in us where we left off. But if we don't accept those principles, we're simply interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, there's no need for memory of the past because we never learned anything in the past. There's no need to remember anything because you haven't learned anything. Is that clear?
So we haven't started learning, so that's why we do not remember.
You can remember what happened in the past. It's not going to do you any good because you haven't learned anything to change anything. Like people may, if you remember your past life, that you were a frog and a snake came and ate you, then you're going to avoid snakes, that's all. You may have some phobia against snakes, but you're not going to stop eating, sleeping, mating, defending as your business of life. Maybe you may take up the business of getting back at the snake and having snakes for lunch every day. But it's not going to help you very much. Anything else? Yes.
I also was thinking about this question. Maybe you can tell me if my thinking is correct. People don't want to learn, and this is, people don't want to remember. And we see that even in this life, within the framework of just a few hours, weeks, or months, we very frequently do not want to even acknowledge that I was wrong. So if we even, we see prisons, I'm very sorry, Manjakal Patarubish, I heard that prisons are filled with people who deny that they did anything wrong.
What's filled with people?
Prisons.
Prisons, yeah.
Are filled with people who, it's been proven, apparently, beyond any reasonable doubt that they are wrong, and they still deny that they have done anything wrong. So therefore, we don't want to remember. And if we do want to remember, then we will usually, through introspection and also with Krishna's help, and we will get some feeling what was wrong and why we are getting this reaction or that reaction. So people ask this challenging question, but actually they oftentimes do not want to know, do not want to remember.
It interferes with their, because our main gratification is the false ego. That we've come here to become God, and whatever we're going through is just part of, we think is part of the process of our advancement towards becoming God. So it's a learning lesson to help us become God, that's all. It wasn't wrong, it's just part of a process. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.